Chris Half joins us of MLB.com, one of the fabulous four down here of Chris and Henry and Andy and Alex. I see him every day at the ballpark, and great to sit there and talk baseball with him every day. And Chris, nice to have you on the show today.
Marty, it's as you said, it's great to be here. It's great to be part of all this. It's a privilege. It really is.
Now, for you, and I was just thinking about Jim Davenport, who we're going to talk about a little bit later on today. What year is this for you covering baseball?
Well, I've been doing it off and on, mostly on, since 1991.
Wow.
I had a little NFL hiatus there, and enforced by an editor of mine in Cincinnati, which wasn't such a bad thing. What it did was make me appreciate baseball more. Every single day I was on that beat for three years or three seasons, I said to myself, I'm going to do baseball again. And I was just lucky that I went back. That was with the Cincinnati Inquirer. The Inquirer actually put me back on the Reds beat, which is kind of unusual. And then I went to MLB.com when 2 years after they opened up shop, so to speak, in 2002.
Now, was Paul Brown the coach of the Bengals when you were there?
No, his son Mike was the president.
Yeah. Paul Brown, the legendary coach of the Cleveland Browns and, of course, the Bengals. He started with the Bengals
as well.
But Chris is with us. Chris, being in this camp, and as you go back to the Reds days, and, of course, you know Reds baseball and all the good things that happened there over the many years and the things that weren't so good, how do you think this team looks to you? You're a veteran baseball guy. What do you see?
They do look polished. I mean, there's
you're on Periscope now, by the way. That's what Beer Can is doing here. You're on Periscope live all over the world, so go ahead.
There's a sense of purpose, I think, Marty. It's mostly unspoken, but these guys know they can win. They believe they can win, and I think everything, just about everything they do is directed toward that. I mean, do they run their sprints extra hard? Maybe not necessarily, but again, there's a sense of purpose. I think they know what they can do, and they don't want to fall short. They realize, you know, they went out and got three high-priced free agents. Not something that's happened a whole heck of a lot here in San Francisco, and you know, they don't want that to be a waste.
If there was an area of the team that maybe you say, as we head into spring training, the games haven't started yet, they start on Wednesday. Is there an area that you worry about? And I don't mean you personally, but as an analyst, is there an area that you say, well, wait, you know, this is one, let's see how this plays out?
I think you want to see, you know, what you want from spring training is obviously isn't wins and losses all the time. You just want to see consistency. You want to see players show, even if they don't hit 300 or, you know, have an ERA of 1.5, you want them to show their usual form, you know, just the right way of doing things. And then, of course, health. And health is maintaining health. And that's either reestablishing the health or maintaining it. And that's an issue right now, I think, for this club with really three, I don't know if all three are question marks, but, you know, look at the outfield. You've got, you know, right now Hunter Pence with the right Achilles tendonitis. You've got Denard Span coming off, you know, multiple injuries. And in left field, Angel Pagan has to prove that his knees are sound again. So
okay.
you just want them to come through each day, you know, looking sharp and looking healthy.
It's funny you said that because I hadn't really thought of it in that context because Pagan looks like he can play. Span, you're right. Span, we don't know if he, you know, he's coming off. He missed most of last year, and I think he's 32. I think his birthday was yesterday. And then, of course, Pence, you hate to see anything with an Achilles and tendonitis. Anything you have an itis is usually chronic. you hate to see that. So, all right, very well said. Maybe the outfield is something that we're taking for granted a little bit too much. Bernie had a lot to say about Mac Williamson. And Mac Williamson, and I know Bochy seems to like what's happening with Williamson in BP, at least so far. Talk about Mac Williamson for a minute.
He's just an impressive-looking specimen. I mean, I hate to use that cliche, but one of all the development that the Giants have done in the past several years, you know, developed starting pitching. It's been great. They've developed some good relievers. You know, Brian Wilson and Romo. of course, the infield goes without saying, and catching behind the plate, that goes without saying. They haven't developed a whole lot of great outfielders. I'm not saying Mac Williamson can be a great outfielder, but that's promising right there to see some, you know, see some athletic talent that that's come up through their system, you know, at that position.
Bernie says, and many people have told me, that they feel Mac Williamson by mid-season will be in the big leagues. He's ticketed for Sacramento, and we'll see how he does here in spring. Kyle Blanks is on this team, and you know, there's a lot of right-handed sluggers that I'd love to get in the mix here. But let's see what happens. Maybe Williamson is a guy that goes down to Sacramento, gets his 250 at-bats, and hits 340 and says, I'm ready.
Yeah, you definitely want him playing every day. You know, a guy like Jared Parker maybe could fit into an occasional start, you know, spot starting, pinch hitting type role. But a guy like Mac Williamson, I think, even Bruce Bochy said this at the start of spring training, should be playing more frequently.
You know, this spring training, and Chris, my thought is we're going to see players play more down here than we normally do. And I don't mean the starters. I mean these other guys, because there's a room full of people there. And they're all projected. I mean, it's not a room full of projects. Maybe Ricky Romero could be a little bit of a lightning in a bottle guy, the lefty that they brought in. But there's a lot of people there who they think can play in the big leagues. This first couple of weeks is going to be kind of interesting.
In that respect, Marty, I think you hit on the head. I think that this could be one of the more, I was about to say interesting, more I wrote a college essay, and professor, I used the word interesting, and the professor wrote, bad word. You know, it says, so whenever I start to say interesting, a little alarm still goes off in my head. But this will be one of the more, I guess, maybe fascinating or intriguing spring trainings they've had in recent years. But for that reason, the very reason you mentioned, you know, they've got very few guys here who are just here.
That's right.
Most of them have some sort of, you know, the club has a purpose in having them here.
I think it's going to be interesting. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Chris Haft with us from MLB.com. Chris, you and I are going to do a feature this year, and I'm very glad to do it with you, and you were the inspiration for doing it. And that is, and fans, I'm going to invite you to Twitter at Baseball Marty, or you can write at Marty@KNBR.com. Chris and I are going to take the 25 greatest games in Giants franchise history. It's not just San Francisco. We're going to go back to New York a little bit in the Fred Merkel game, or, you know, Bill Terry, or a Willie Mays game, or a Marichal game. And then, of course, we have all the great games that have happened recently that led to the World Series championships. But you and I are going to do that. Chris, you've started to narrow it down. I think you're down to about 200.
Yeah.
But we'll do one a week, and you and I will kick it around, and we'll say why it was the most interesting. We'll maybe look at the time in American culture that it was taking place, why it was important in a pennant race, and bring back some of those great games of franchise history. I like it. I like what we're going to do. This is going to be fun.
I'm excited about it. The thing is, there have been so many of these games, games that belong on the list have been played recently, you know, through this run of World Series. It's going to be tough it will be tough to narrow it down. You could almost pick 50 games from those three championship seasons alone. But that's part of the fun of it, you know. Well, it is subjective, and the fans can argue about it, and hopefully in a good-natured way.
Yeah.
And that's part of the point.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. So we'll do one a weekend, and you and I, you'll do some of the research, I'll do research, and we'll kind of put it in context for everybody. And they're the greatest games in Giants franchise history. We have a listener on Twitter, Mel Ott, and I'm relying on him to come up and tweet me a few good Mel Ott games. Of course, Mel Ott, little left-handed hitter, 511 home runs, and when he retired, he had just about every slugging record in the National League. So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward
to it. Definitely. Most a lot of fun.
So you're down to about 200. Have you narrowed it down
yeah.
yet?
I think I had, in all seriousness, about 100 or so. And, it's getting to be a challenge at this point.
All right. I'm looking for suggestions. At Baseball Marty, or Chris, what's your Twitter handle?
At SF Giants Beat.
Okay. So
yeah.
People can tweet into you. either one of us, or write to me at marty@kmbr.com. Give me some suggestions. And it doesn't have to be, you know, Lincecum pitching a no-hitter. You know, let's get a little bit more obscure. And maybe a game you saw that was one of the great games of Giants history. It'd be fun to do that. The Joe Morgan home run was a special,
oh God, huge,
special one. And the Ron Pruitt hit. I was at Candlestick for that.
See, that's one of my personal favorites. But if you're going to narrow it down to 25, it probably doesn't make the cut.
No, it doesn't.
And yet, I think it's a personal favorite for a lot of people.
The Mike Ivey Grand Slam.
That game I was at, that was something else.
Me too. I was there with Jerry Schwartz back. We were sitting up in the right field bleachers. I'll never forget that. All right, very good. So, thoughts today, maybe from practice today? Anything that you'd like to share with us? Updates on Kane or Pence or anybody else? Blanco, I know, has been out for a couple of days with the flu.
Yeah, the status remains quo with those three people. So, you know, it's good that's happening. These little nagging things, and hopefully that's all you hope for with Pence. That's just a nagging thing, are happening early. You know, they happen every spring, and again, you hope they happen. If you're whatever club you are, you hope this happens earlier than later, obviously.
Yeah, Gorky's Hernandez. Were you there on the bench this morning when Felipe was talking about him?
I missed out on that one.
Yeah, very interesting. You're talking about Lucius Fox also, the young player from the Bahamas, Bahamian. But he was talking about the defense of Gorky's Hernandez. And I'm looking forward to seeing that in some of the spring training. You know, whether he's got a bat for the big leagues is another story. But, you know, as you point out, the outfield vulnerability, you want to have a defensive guy who could come in and play. And maybe Gorky's Hernandez is someone you and I should take a look at.
That's what this is, this on and off the subject at the same time. Having Felipe Alou around is just wonderful. It really is. Yeah, as somebody, I think even Brian Sabian said, he's forgotten more baseball than we all know. And for him, and you really, when he says things like that, you just really notice his baseball acumen really comes through.
It's terrific. And then you go in the clubhouse and you see Willie Mays. You've been in there. You've seen Willie mixing it up with the young players and even the veterans. How about that?
Well, if you're involved in baseball, whether you're 20 or 80, and you don't know who Willie Mays is, there's something wrong with you. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so. He's feeling good. He had a little bit of a cold. He's feeling better, and he was in there today. And I brought Denard Span for his birthday. I'll give you the scoop. For Denard Span for his birthday, Willie gave him a 1951 Giants jersey that he signed for him.
Oh, my God.
How about that? That was a nice birthday. I said, I don't have that. You know, and I interview you all the time. Willie and I have fun. But that's what he did for Span today. It was very nice. All right, Chris, glad to have you on here. I'm looking forward to our feature brought to us by Gelati Construction, and we'll do one a weekend. And I'm looking forward to your list of getting me the list. We'll narrow it down to maybe 50, and then we'll go to 25 and come up with the greatest games in Giants franchise history.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. 50 to 25 sounds like we're making up our own ball club or something like that.
I know. And it's not simple. I mean, look, let's face it. They've been around, let's just say 1900. You know, this is 116 seasons, 117 seasons, and add up the amount of games. You're hundreds of thousands of potential games that we could have.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, good. All right, appreciate you being on.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that is Chris Haft, MLB.com. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.